Thank you for joining us this evening at Calvary Baptist Church. We're honored to have you as our virtual guests with us. We are in a series on Sunday night entitled Jesus Christ, the Servant of Humanity from the Gospel of Mark. We'll be in Mark chapter 9 tonight, verses 33 through 37. What is the essence of true greatness? Is it some famous sports star that is known as the greatest of all time? Or is it the lowly person who works in the church nursery each Sunday and puts up with all of the temper tantrums or the toddler fits that take place? This is what we want to examine tonight, is the true essence of greatness, or the essence of true greatness. From Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 37. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you disputed amongst yourselves along the way?" But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, then the same shall be last of all, and servant of all." And he took a child, and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he saith unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me." Our proposition that we want to carry across tonight is this. Be the last of all and the servant of all, and then you will have true greatness. Be the last of all and the servant of all, and then you will have true greatness. You see, the disciples in point number one were desiring position, or the position desired. Here in verses 33 and 34, as they were walking along the road, they were having an argument amongst themselves who would be the greatest amongst them. Now, this has been some time since they've been in the city of Capernaum. But now they're back, most likely, in Peter's house. So the Lord takes this opportunity, being in a private home, to ask an open question. Jesus candidly asked them what they were arguing about on the road, on the way. Once again, he asks a pointed question which will expand his opportunity of ministry for the disciples. How can you find out what is in the heart of an individual? What is the best way to do this? Well, ask an open question, such as the Lord did. And you'll find out that the accusation might stir somebody to harden their heart against you, but an open-ended question might reveal what's really going on. Now, not only was there an open question, but there was an open argument. The disciples were ashamed to admit that they had argued about who was the greatest among them. Matters of rank were important to the Jewish people, so it was natural for the disciples to be concerned about who would have what position in the Messiah's coming kingdom. Perhaps the position that Peter, James, and John had by going to the Mount of Transfiguration and seeing Jesus transfigured before them caused the other nine disciples to be envious. Well, the 12 did not understand or accept what Jesus' passion prediction, what it was about. Okay, so this is going past their heads, spiritually speaking. They're being portrayed as being dull of spirit. And so as they desire a position later on, the same lesson has to be taught to the disciples again because they didn't catch it the first time. In Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 17, I want you to listen to the boldness of those that are seeking position. Matthew chapter 20, verse 17, "And Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again." Now notice this. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. A second and third position, the most prominent sons in the kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You know not what ye ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I am able to drink from? And to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Do you see the position desired? You see, this is an age-old problem, that ambition and position are still sought after today. People climb the rungs of a ladder. They'll step on someone else's neck to get where they're going. And so Jesus is teaching, or will teach, something that's absolutely upside down from what the expectations are here. But you know, sometimes this works itself out in a church. You pull up and you see reserved parking spaces for prominent people in the church. Or you hear during business meetings which ministry is the most important by the amount of time or the amount of money that is allocated to certain ministries. You know, in former situations I've been around where pastors, their children are sought after in dating relationships, because then who can be closest to the pastor? Who can say, oh, I'm dating the pastor's child? These are all kinds of things where people desire to be close to positions of power. And this is James and John and Peter. They're wanting all of this as the three, but then the nine are envious against them. And so now let's look at the position declared, verse 35. So we'll go back to Mark chapter 9, verse 35. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desire to be the first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. So point number two tonight is this. There is what true position is declared, or position is declared. This is a call to come to attention after sitting down. Now, this is the recognized place of a Jewish teacher. Jesus summoned the 12 and he taught them the essence of true greatness. And so we know the Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So even today, we in our university system, we use terms like the chair of such and such an academic discipline. And so it is a place of authority. It is a position of authority. And Jesus, as the teacher, is going to set out here for us. He's going to declare what true greatness is, what the essence of true greatness, what true position is. So not only was there letter A, a call to come to attention, but letter B, a call to change their attitude, a call to change attitude. Jesus says, if anyone wants, here in verse 34, to be the first, to have the highest position, the greatest in God's kingdom, then he must become the very last. He shall be last of all by a deliberate and voluntary choice, because it's in the middle voice. Jesus did not condemn ambition, but he defined it in terms of a new ethic of the kingdom of God. Greatness is linked to service. You can go over just one chapter, chapter 10, and look at verse 31. But the many that are first shall be last, and the last first. This is upside down. This is not the way that society or the workplace is going about, but this is the way that the family of God, God's church, is supposed to work this way. If anyone desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good thing. But then let him first meet all these qualifications that are laid out in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Yes, you can have the ambition, but it's got to be checked. It's got to be checked by a servant's heart. And so we see here, it is not control or power. God's kingdom is so different from human society. And so if anyone wants, then they need to be the servant of all. Now here the word is not for slave, but for servant, diakonos, or where we get deacon. One who freely meets the needs of another. One who is willing to go out and to be a servant. Jesus did not condemn the desire to improve one's position in life, but he did teach greatness in his kingdom was not determined by status, but by service. So if you go over to chapter 10, look at verses 43 through 45. So it shall not be among you, but whoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus set the ultimate example of being that servant, the least of all, the one who is servant of all. And so the position is declared. So Jesus' point was this, that in the kingdom, ordinary values are reversed. The paradox of the gospel is the way of service. The way of Jesus himself is the way to true greatness. Then in closing, let's look at the position as demonstrated by the Lord. Verses 36 and 37. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he saith unto them, whosoever shall receive one such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. So here's the question answered, letter A. The question answered. Who is the greatest? Okay, this is found here in the illustration of the child. The most childlike and trustful, the least self-conscious and self-sufficient. This is the answer to who is the greatest. Jesus taught only by his words, but also by symbolic actions. His use of the child here, possibly Peter's child, since he's in Peter's house, is an acted out parable, a dramatized illustration. The child was used as a rebuke to the disciples. They were acting childish by fighting and squabbling. Many times people like to fight and to squabble, but we need to set that aside. And so we see here the meaning of symbolic action cannot be grasped without recognition here then of the lowly place occupied by children in ancient society. Children were the very last, and a realization that the same Aramaic word is used for that of a household servant. Wow. This is what is taking place. So a child in the Bible is both a symbol of innocence and helplessness and vulnerability. Let's go over to chapter 10, look at verses 13 to 16. It says, and they besought, and they brought a young child to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. You know, this is our gospel message that we want to share with you tonight. A child is a humble person because they're completely dependent. They cannot be sufficient. And so our sufficiency is not of ourselves. We can't earn our place into heaven. We are completely dependent upon God. You know why man was made on the last day of creation? Because man needed everything that came before him. And this is still our true position with our Heavenly Father. Our works of righteousness don't justify us. They don't make us right in God's sight. Only by faith in Jesus and humbling ourselves in his presence as a little child is humble. That's the only way that we can come to God. But God, I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. Please forgive me and come into my life. So we acknowledge our sin. We believe on the Lord Jesus as the only solution to that sin. And we call upon His name in faith and repentance, turning away from whatever we have trusted in and putting all of our trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question is answered. Now, the question is applied, or you might say the question is appealed. Jesus took the child in His arms. He grasped the child and brought him in. And so Jesus is welcoming the child to be concerned about the child, to care for the child, to show kindness. So to do so in the name of Jesus means to do as He would do, to do for His sake. And so this is what Christians need to embrace, is that servant mentality where the least among us is welcome and embraced. Their needs are met, where we look at them as being more important than we're looking at ourselves. To accept the outcasts and the oppressed is a way of accepting both God and Jesus. So greatness in the kingdom consists not of position, but of ministry. The sense thereof are His words, humility, which is the foundation of greatness. And so this is what we learn tonight from Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 37. So my closing question for you would be this, okay? Are you considering yourself to be the servant of all, the last of all? So the Lord proclaims and reaches right up to the very throne of God. You know, if we stop and look throughout church history, George Mueller was a man of Bristol, Germany, who became the servant of all. A poor, humble man, he went after the orphans of Bristol and gathered them into his home to feed, to house, to clothe, to educate, and to evangelize. He was kind, gentle, meek, and a servant of all, a Christ-like man. Mueller won the heart of his city, and when he died, it is said that all of Bristol attended his funeral. And so this is the paradox of true greatness. Whoever seeks to be the greatest among you is the last of all and the servant of all. Consider yourself last tonight. Humble yourself in the sight of God. And then go out and serve others and serve your Lord. Let's close with a word of prayer.